fun, Craig Mitch and Davis Maddock. We got you for another hour here today. We'll be back tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern, getting you ready for your upcoming fantasy football draft. And, of course, plenty to get to here on today's show. Of course, the big news of the day, J.K. Dobbins of the Baltimore Ravens going to be out for the season. We're also hearing Irv Smith, tight end for the Vikings, going to be out a couple of weeks at least, according to some of their reporters there. So maybe a pivot over at tight end. But let's get to our headlines here on our show. We've got Gregory Polanco, former fantasy baseball darling, released flat out by the Pittsburgh Pirates. It just his career just completely fell apart about 4 or 5 years ago. Rajon Rondo likely to rejoin the Lakers after he was bought out. So chasing a championship will Rondo be doing? The Lions waive Breshad Perriman. Wow, if you go back and watch our show on Friday, Davis called this one, and now Perriman probably gets signed, I would assume, but Lions owe him some money to do nothing this season. And also the baseball postseason races are heating up. Full slate of games tonight. And we're getting ready to close out August and get into the month of September. But also one of the other big stories we're following is on Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager. Are the Miami Dolphins interested in Deshaun Watson? Is there a chance that Watson could end up being traded before the season begins? No one really knows for sure, but that was no shortage of questions asked to Brian Flores specifically on the rumors that have been discussed and reports have been discussed about Watson potentially being traded to Miami.
You know, reports, speculation, not things we really get into. Look, I understand the question, but as I've said in the past, any conversations that we have or don't have with other clubs are going to be internal. I've been pretty steadfast about that. With our players, with other clubs, and that'll remain the case. Could you adjust
how you're talking? So Davis will just play the waiting game. Tomorrow will be the first step. We'll see if he's on the 53-man, and then they'll owe him $10 million. And, of course, that's a very small price to pay for making a trade for the future, which inevitably they'll have to do, even if it's just a second-round pick. I mean, you got to keep him to make that trade. And then the question becomes over the next week, does Houston let any real information out in terms of what they're looking for, what they're trying to do, and what's supposed to be accomplished? Because let's be honest, this has been a pretty embarrassing situation, having him, as you mentioned, lined up at safety one day, walking on and off the field, just not playing at all. Like, no one even knows what to make of this thing. And I think probably in the end, the NFL's done a poor job with the optics here of getting this figured out.
The optics, to me, are the number one limiting factor here. Because even if, let's say the New England Patriots, who famously don't care that much about optics and, they just want guys who are good at football. Let's say the Patriots and the Texans, really wanted to strike a deal. I think that the optics of the situation make it so that the Texans and the Patriots could not do a full price trade. Like, I just don't think there's any way a team can optically get away with trading what the Texans are asking for, right? Which Charles Robinson reported, the 3 first round picks, 2 second round picks. Like, from a fan perspective, I feel like the total number of fans who would feel like that was a plus EV trade is so low. Now, if we wanted to rewind the clock 6 months and just go to win, it was a war between Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and it was all about he doesn't want to be there. The Texans don't really want him either, but they'd like to trade him. Well, then that makes everything different. But then you add in all of these legal troubles that Watson has. And I just, to me, and granted, I do not have all of the inside information that someone like Adam Schefter or Charles Robinson would have, but I cannot see it. And I especially don't see it for the Miami Dolphins, who already have a good young quarterback.
Yeah, look, the fan base seemingly, Davis, is very interested at Watson at a zero cost, but not at the cost of replacing Tua for sure. Last thing on Watson, and then we'll move on for the day. People are probably getting tired of this. Where's he being drafted? Where's he being drafted this weekend? He's got to be going in every draft at some point, but just very late, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he does. I would say he gets drafted 93% of the time, an unofficial stat off the top of my head. He goes very late. He goes after like the last like guaranteed starters, like your Derek Carrs and your Ben Roethlisbergers. He kind of goes with Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Teddy Bridgewater actually is now in that range now that he is confirmed as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I totally get it. And I actually feel like it's probably a leak. I drafted all these best ball teams this offseason, hundreds and hundreds of teams. It probably is a leak that I did not take any of him, but I also felt like you should do it as a larger part of your, you know, your fantasy football portfolio, if you will. And I just made the decision early on to not do it for richer or for poorer.
Yeah, and that decision is going to have to be made for a lot of people without even knowing what his future may be, especially if they roll this right up until next week. And again, we're still basically 2 weeks away from the beginning of the NFL season for Houston and probably most of the teams that he could end up on. So we'll see what plays out over the next 10 days or so. But coming up next, what did we learn from the 2021 NFL preseason? We'll dive into that. We'll talk about the biggest risers and the biggest fallers of the NFL fantasy football draft season. And then we've got fantasy reality for you, of course, Sports Grid 60 and everything that we normally do here on the show. So stay with us here on the grid as we continue on here on this Monday, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL preseason 2021 is officially in the books. Final games were played on Sunday. And the NFL season, Davis, will start 1 week from Thursday. So still plenty, I think, things to happen before the season begins, of course, on Thursday night. And then the rest of the league will play on Sunday or Monday. But naturally, I know you've got a up-close and personal look at what happened in the NFL preseason. And as it relates to fantasy, let's dive into what you think were some of the most important things that came out of this one.
Yeah, you know, there are obviously lots of things that we can look at in the NFL preseason. A lot of people tend to, I think, get mired down by like performance-related things. So one of those would be Ja'Marr Chase. I literally think Ja'Marr Chase had 4 drops on 6 targets in the preseason. And that, you know, funnily enough, that very small sample size, those very limited interactions that we saw of Ja'Marr Chase caused his ADP to fall. You used to have to take Ja'Marr Chase in the 4th round if you wanted him. He routinely falls to the 5th round now, and I actually even took him with the 2nd pick of the 6th round in a draft that I did last night. That is, that's a very large fall in terms of ADP. But there were 3 things I really wanted to hit on that I learned from the fantasy preseason. The first one being the 49ers running game is just going to be insane. Because that zone blocking scheme has always been good, right? Kyle Shanahan and then his dad, Mike Shanahan, before him. But what has always been missing from that scheme? We've never really seen it done with a really good running quarterback, right? Think about all the quarterbacks of those Mike Shanahan teams. And then think about the quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan has had in San Francisco. It's been guys who could move a little bit. In particular, remember when C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins were in at quarterback for the 49ers? Those guys, like, Mullins could move a little bit. He wasn't a statue. But Jimmy Garoppolo, they definitely did not want him taking off and running. And, like, I don't know if you want to think about other zone blocking scheme quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning ran a zone blocking scheme when he was in Denver, and that was pretty fun. Like, you know, Peyton Manning is not taking off and running down the field, and this was really brilliantly illustrated by the running touchdown that both Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance scored yesterday. They had a motion wide receiver coming across the screen. There was a ball fake to the running back. Well, the other running back who was in the backfield was going the other way, actually disguising the run as a lead blocker, and both Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance scored rushing touchdowns, literally not being touched. There was not a defender who was close enough to even put a hand on them as they walked into the end zone. And kind of extending that thought a little bit further, I think Trey Sermon and Raheem Mostert can both pay off. That's actually kind of what I'm thinking right now, is I think that right now where their average draft positions are, I think both of those guys are going to end up being values at their draft position. Now, that's provided that Trey Lance doesn't score like, you know, 14 rushing touchdowns or something. If he takes every goal line carry, then they'll struggle a little bit. But, you know, 150 carries, 180 carries, split those between Sermon, split those between Mostert, give them each 5 to 8 rushing touchdowns, give Mostert one of his classic prototypical 80-yard touchdowns. Feels like he has at least one of those every single season. I am extremely bullish on the 49ers running game after seeing it happen with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, and look, they, even when Matt Breida was there running, and Wilson and some of the other running backs that they've tried, it just, for whatever reason, you're right, that zone blocking scheme that they ran in Denver and now is being used in San Francisco was certainly, I mean, look, the only thing is that I guess fantasy owners would love it to be just one running back. We're just not going to get that, I don't think, in San Francisco. Now, the second part of this surprises me a little bit. I know that you're sort of, bullish on Jameis Winston, but what do you make of the Saints going into the season?
So I am bullish on Jameis Winston relative to Taysom Hill, right? I think that their offense would have really struggled if Sean Payton stubbornly was going into the season with Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback, which is not to say that Taysom doesn't have a time or a place, or that he's not going to be used, or that he's not a useful NFL quarterback. But I think, Craig, even you, a vicious Jameis Winston detractor, would say the offense is going to look a little bit better and have more upside with Jameis throwing the passes as opposed to Taysom. It's just like every single week with the Saints, it was like the news got worse. So first it was, okay, Drew Brees is retiring. Then it's Michael Thomas is injured and he's out for the season. Then it's Adam Trautman gets injured. Then it's Tre'Quan Smith hasn't been practicing with a lower body injury and he still hasn't returned to practice. Then it's Tony Jones Jr. is actually going to be the second running back for the team because Latavius Murray's athleticism has basically left him at this point. And then it's Deontay Harris, who is their starting slot wide receiver, is going to be out for the first two games of the season due to a DUI suspension. And you're just like, you know, they're just going to be pulling guys who were practice squad players for them last year and thrusting them into starting roles. In fact, their starting tight ends, Adam Trautman and Nick Vinette, both of them are injured. So their starting tight end in week one is going to be Juwan Johnson, who is a converted wide receiver. He played wide receiver at the University of Oregon. He transitioned this offseason into being a tight end. Who's blocking for them? Who's their blocking tight end? They need a blocking tight end if they're going to open lanes for Alvin Kamara or keep Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill upright back there in the pocket. And so, you know, we're so used to these high total games in the Superdome. We're so used to the Saints being in, you know, 48, 45 games and they're these track meets. And I do not think that it is going to be possible for them to do that this year. I really think that they're going to have to do a lot of manufacturing of plays. And what this has led me to is, yes, overall they're going to struggle. I think they're going to be much more like a league average offense when they've been, feels like they've been a top five offense pretty much every year of Sean Payton's career. I think their one path to being a very good, or even honestly, until Michael Thomas gets back, a league average offense is just going to be like 19 to 22 touches a game for Alvin Kamara. That's really the only way I see it happening. Or maybe I'm wrong and maybe Marquez Callaway is like Randy Moss part two, which I think is much less likely.
Yeah, I'm just not in on the Saints at all this season, as I've stated. And, you know, I think they'll probably be around 500, but I'm just not bullish at all on them going into the year. And that's even with, and it's possible Jameis is even an upgrade from Breeze last year. I mean, that's, it goes without saying, but not feeling it this year for sure. Now, how are you feeling about watching Trevor Lawrence now for 3 weeks? And he got quite a bit of playing time in the preseason as well.
So Lawrence was probably, this sounds weird to say, But I actually had questions about Trevor Lawrence coming into the season, and I want to see him play well in the preseason because Trevor Lawrence was basically anointed as the number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft since the first time we saw him at Clemson, right? Wins the national championship, but everyone's like, well, yeah, obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to be a number one pick in the NFL draft. No one knew about Trey Lance. No one knew how good Zach Wilson was going to be. No, I mean, at the point in which Trevor Lawrence was faded as the number one overall pick, Justin Fields was the backup quarterback at Georgia, right? Like, we literally did not know about these guys. And so I've been curious, like, what is he going to look like at the NFL level? Is it possible that the Jaguars maybe fell into this fallacy of just like, oh yeah, he's the number one overall pick, but maybe Fields is better. Maybe Wilson is better. Maybe Mac Jones is better for all we know. But particularly in that game against the Cowboys yesterday, and he looked okay to me in the first two games as well. To me, again, and I am an amateur observer, I am no, I'm no NFL scout, but to me, he pretty much has looked every bit like the quarterback that we would have expected him to. And by the way, more mobile than people realize. Like, he moves very well in the pocket to his left and to his right. So I am extremely excited to see him operate in this Jaguars offense.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville has a chance to be better than people think. That's one of my maybe surprise teams going into 2021. And Lawrence, of course, is the main reason why. And look, they're so confident in him playing, they didn't even have Gardner Minshew anymore. They shipped him out to Philadelphia over the weekend. All right, coming up next, the biggest risers and fallers in the draft season in fantasy football. Who has moved up and who has moved down? Perhaps that'll help you with your fantasy drafts coming up, so make sure you stay on the grid for that. We also have Fantasy or Reality in the Sports Grid 60. Davis and I here with you all week long, getting you ready for your fantasy football draft. Let us know what you think on Twitter, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. We'll take a quick two-minute break and be right back here on the show. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're not following us on Twitter, you may want to start doing it now. The college football season began this weekend, and of course, there are several games coming up on Thursday, giving you the inside edge. So here's what you do. Go to our Twitter handles, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Make sure you follow us there immediately. It'll give you the insight all season long from a wagering perspective, also from a fantasy perspective, because our show gets clipped and put on there too. So anything that we're talking about on social media, on Twitter, at SportsGrid, and of course, at SportsGrid TV. Quick note here from the NFL. Before we get into our risers and fallers, Davis, Carson Wentz, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, placed on the COVID-19 list. Also, their center, in addition to Zach Pascal. What's interesting to me, Davis, is that if we're having this conversation next week about guys, you're talking about missing week one of the NFL season. And I think that's when it'll really start to hit home. I don't think that this puts these guys in jeopardy, maybe, with 2 weeks to go in the season. But whenever this happens on a Monday or Tuesday during the season, we'll be wondering if these guys are going to play.
You will be, I mean, look, if it's next Tuesday and you and I are having the conversation about quarterback X, Y, or Z being put on the health and safety protocols list, depending on their vaccination status and depending on how many negative tests they have, it seems like the rules are set in place. Like, and you would say, well, Davis, wasn't it pretty strict last year? And doesn't it, it actually feels like it wasn't. Like, remember that Sunday morning where Alvin Kamara had a positive test and then he got a negative test and he was ruled out and then he was ruled in and he ended up playing. So it feels like if that exact same scenario happened this year, he just would not play. Like if you get the positive test or if you get the close contact thing, you're just not playing. Like it feels like they actually have tightened up the rules a little bit more. And the reason why they tightened up those rules was because they wanted to encourage guys to get vaccinated. But in a way, it might even kind of backfire because if I give you this, before we get into our risers and fallers, if I set the line for you on this, how many games does a starting quarterback miss due to either a positive COVID test or health and safety protocols? I'm setting the line at 2.5. Do you have the over or the under?
Which quarterback, though? Is it every quarterback?
Just every quarterback. Every starting quarterback, 2.5 starts missed due to positive COVID tests or health and safety protocols.
Just strictly because of that? Oof, I don't know. Tough call. I'd probably say over, but it would be close for me because I do think it's one game for each. I think it's a little bit lower than that, but I feel like one is a good number. I'll say over, though, just for the sake of it.
Yeah, I do. I do think it. I do think it is probably over. And I mean, I hope it's zero. I hope we have zero games ruined by the coronavirus. That would of course be my hope, but it doesn't seem likely. So let's go ahead and let's do these risers and fallers, because I have three guys here, two of which I agree with the rise, and one of which I just cannot get there. So we just talked about the New Orleans Saints, right? And I just said, I kind of think that they're going to be a mess. Well, Alvin Kamara's ADP, believe it or not, I would say about 50% of the time he goes ahead of Dalvin Cook now as the number two overall pick. And, it depends on what site you're drafting on, depends on if it's tight end premium, if it's 20 rounds, et cetera, et cetera. But I just wanted to make a note that Alvin Kamara is about 50% of the time going as the second overall pick now. But I actually get it. I actually think that I understand this because the ceiling season for Kamara is so obvious now, where he gets the most carries of his career. Latavius Murray is not going to be taking goal line carries away from him. Maybe Taysom takes away some of those goal line carries. And with Michael Thomas out, when Michael Thomas was out last year, Kamara had like a 27% target share of that Saints offense. I think it'll be very similar this year. On the other side of the coin, his teammate Marquez Callaway has gotten super steamed. He is now going in the 8th, 9th round as a result of how good he's been in the preseason, Michael Thomas being out injured, Traquan Smith being out injured. But I absolutely cannot draft him there. Sometimes he goes ahead of Will Fuller. Sometimes he goes ahead of DJ Shark. Sometimes he goes ahead of Mecole Hardman. And even if he is the wide receiver one for the first 2 months of the season for the Saints, I cannot get there with Callaway. He is a guy that I would have loved to have been drafting in June and July and been reaping the benefits, but I can't pay this price now. So he's the riser that I'm out on. But then my guy, Jerry Jeudy, Teddy Bridgewater taking over a quarterback for the Denver Broncos. We've talked about Jeudy a fair bit on this show, but I feel like people who are just now getting to their fantasy draft, Craig, they might open up their draft applet on, Yahoo or wherever, and they see Jerry Jeudy with a 55 or 52 ADP, and they go, no way, I can't pay that for Jerry Jeudy. He's on the Broncos. But I think that's wrong. I actually think you can still profit pretty heavily from Jeudy in the 5th round of your draft.
Yeah, interesting for me too. We were having this discussion on Sunday, Joe, and I was making the comment on with Joe, and I was making the comment to him that you can no longer get Callaway based on like 12th or 11th round ADP. Like, there's just no chance of that. Like, doing a draft right now, anybody that knows anything is he's gonna get taken higher than someone, and that's kind of what I see playing out here. Makes sense, though, 92 in terms of the ADP. All right, now in terms of the fallers that you have, guys who have fallen quite a bit. Now, Bateman is a very easy one because of the injury. So let's get into the other two names here of players who have fallen. And why do you think that is?
So Jacobs, the reason why I threw Jacobs in here was he is just indicative of what's happening in fantasy football as a whole, right? Just as the entire landscape, this is the season that I think the market has been most efficient. And you could definitely speak to this too. I would, you know, you've been doing fantasy football for a long time. You've been on TV for a long time. I would imagine that this is the most you've ever heard people talking about drafting wide receivers in the early rounds, the most you've ever heard people talking about not taking running backs in the middle rounds, you know, the running back dead zone, zero running back drafting, you know, the wide receivers scoring more points than running backs, getting injured less, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so Jacobs, yes, himself is a faller. There's not really any given reason for it. Other than that, the market has just really started to value wide receivers the highest that they ever have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, I'm trying to think back to when I was playing in the, I mean, obviously when I was playing in the 90s, but I think that Davis, there was no possible way in fantasy in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I'm thinking back to Terrell Davis. I'm thinking back to Jamal Anderson, Priest Holmes, like in that era where you would have, where you could make three picks in a fantasy draft, Davis, and not have two running backs. Like if you went through four picks in your fantasy draft, Davis, and you didn't have two running backs, you were done. Like you screwed up something, and that's just completely changed.
Yeah. Yeah. It really has completely changed. Like, you know, I did another high stakes draft last night, and we did not take a first running back until the sixth round of our draft. We took Daryl Henderson there, felt amazing to get him, at that pick. And I felt completely fine about it. Like I was like, yeah, like that's good. And that, that sort of advice, that sort of opinion would have had me, you know, laughed out of a room 3 years ago. People would have been like, well, there's no way you can't win that way. You're not going to have enough points. And like the conversation is very different. Our other two fallers, Shark. This is an example of people overreacting to an injury. So our other faller is Rashad Bateman. And I think that's, you know, a fine reaction for a little while this offseason. He was going at like pick 110. And for good reason, right? Because he could be one of these big breakout candidates in the second half of the season. Doesn't seem like he's going to be back for, you know, a while now. It's kind of similar to Michael Thomas. But Shark is, I feel very strongly that people are overreacting to the strong preseason that Marvin Jones had, and basically just, you know, out of sight, out of mind with DJ Shark, right? Mm-hmm. Because he just hasn't played, you know, he's been dealing, but it's a hand injury. So it's not like he's going to be dealing with conditioning problems when he gets back. Like as soon as his hand is healed, he's fine. He's been able to run. He's been able to be in the gym, you know, no problem there. So I actually think Shark is a bad faller and that Shark is a guy you should be drafting as he continues to fall.
Who do you think, which NFL team, based on its reality and fantasy, had the toughest preseason? Is it Baltimore because of losing Bateman and Dobbins? Is it Indianapolis just because they keep losing guys every single second? Is it between those two teams? Did I miss another team?
I feel like it's got to be Indianapolis. You have your starting quarterback have a foot injury. Then your, what is it? Quentin Nelson is the left guard, had the foot injury. T.Y. Mm-hmm. Hilton is now injured. Right. They've had some positive COVID stuff. So they've just been dealing with injuries all over the place. And I mean, just as an organization, they are just kind of in between places. I mean, they win 11 games last year and then their quarterback retires. It still feels like an organization that they're still reeling from Andrew Luck retiring. Like that was going to be the direction that their franchise went in for 20 years, and Luck played 8 seasons, I think. I think that sounds accurate. Maybe 9 seasons, but yeah, it just never. That, you know what, we were talking about Deshaun Watson being one of the weirdest stories ever. The Andrew Luck retiring at 29 or whatever he was retiring, that was a weird story. I mean that. Oh, I mean yeah. It didn't come out of nowhere, but that was
number one.
Yeah.
Number one all time. Yeah. Barry Sanders was a huge story when he retired. Barry Sanders was taken in fantasy for at least 2 years after he retired. Just the thought that he would come back and play. Another one was Ricky Williams when he retired. That was another very interesting one for sure. But Luck at his age and being so young, and the way it happened, walking off the final preseason game of 2019 was just insane. Like nobody ever saw that coming like that. So, yeah, I think we're headed down the road with Watson. I think something like that is coming here in the next couple of weeks. All right, we'll have fantasy reality coming up next here on Sports Grid. Don't forget.
Great.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We got about 20 minutes left till the top of the hour. We'll say so long. We'll be right back here tomorrow at noon. Well, we haven't talked a ton of baseball here on the show lately because, of course, it's winding down and fantasy football is coming fast and furious. So we've been focusing in on that. But the side story to Major League Baseball yesterday, of course, is the New York Mets and more shenanigans going on with them. And apparently over the last month, every time the Mets do something good on the field, they have been giving the thumbs down, if you hadn't noticed. I honestly hadn't noticed this was going on. But yesterday, after the game and after some more thumbs downs, Newsday's Tim Healy, friend of the show, asked Javier Baez, what is this thumbs down all about and why are you guys doing it?
We're not machines. We're gonna struggle. You know, we're gonna struggle seven times out of ten. And you know, it just feels bad when we strike out. When I strike out and I get booed, you know, it doesn't really get to me. But like I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels. You know, because if we win together, then we gotta lose together. You know, and the fans are really big part of it. So. In my case, they gotta be better. You know, I play for the fans and I love the fans, but you know, if they're gonna do that, they just putting more pressure on the team. And
Tough scene there for Javier Baez, and that will lead us, Davis and I, into today's fantasy or reality.
All right, Craig. Well, we just spoke about it and we heard from Javi Baez, but the Mets have been booing some of their stars when they're striking out and going through some slumps. So the Mets won two games this weekend and decided to boo the fans. So Davis, we're going to start with you. The Mets thumbs down celebration is warranted. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I know that I'm going to have the minority opinion here, right? Like, I know that, of course, you know, the Mets fans sitting there are like, you know, I can't believe I'm paying for this. You know, Javi Baez, you're going to strike out like a million times this season. How dare you say that anyone's not doing their job? For me, you know what? Like, if this is a galvanizing thing for the players, if they want to feel like it's us versus them, you know, so be it. I would imagine that being a baseball player in New York is probably one of the toughest places to do it. The fans are going to have very high expectations. Now, certainly more so for the Yankees than for the Mets. And the Mets are in this weird situation where, you know, Brett kept saying we've been in first place for like a million days, and now they are probably not going to make the playoffs because they can't hit the ball. Like, I wonder if they are just having like – it's just got to be a psychologically weird thing to be in the Mets locker room right now, where all season long they're like, all right, we're going to win the division and then we win the wild card and we'll figure it out from there. But now they are scraping, and they would have to go on a Yankees-esque win streak to even be close to making the playoffs at this point. They're definitely not making the wild card. The only way they could do it is in the division. So I don't want to use the word warranted, but also, I just don't want to take the position of like, oh, this is some terrible thing that these guys did. Like, to me, it's just kind of like a nothing burger. So it's, I guess, more reality than fantasy, but it's also just not that big of a story to me.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, this is pretty bad. I mean, the only difference is they, you know, they essentially chose to use the finger, Davis, that is not the one that tells the fans to, you know, go do what. Yeah, really bad look. You have kids there going to games. It could have been a galvanizing thing, and it could have been a fun thing, no question. They could have said, hey, we do this because everyone thinks we stink, so we may as well give thumbs down to show that we really stink. And it would have been fun. That would have been cool. But what Javier Baez said is we are doing it to the fans. These are the people that pay, man. And there are kids there too. No good. Bad look. Baez just annihilated his chances for getting a lot of money from the Mets in the offseason. And I think that he could have got a shot at that. He's going to have to pick another team to go to because he is going to get destroyed in New York over the next month. It's nothing personal for me, by the way, with Javier Baez as a person. I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't like him as a player at all. He's had a horrible year. He's going to lead the league in strikeouts again. The Mets obviously made the wrong choice going for him as opposed to Chris Bryant. But that's a story for another day. Bottom line is that you can do the thumbs down and you can make fun of yourselves. You can be self-deprecating because that's all we want in this world. But you can't stick the middle finger up at the people who are paying your salary. So horrible look here. So this is fantasy for me.
All right. Well, our next question, we're going over to the gridiron. And this one looks even more likely now because Carson Wentz, as we just mentioned, went on the COVID list today. So that's another knock against Carson Wentz. But we got to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Jacob Eason will start more games this season than Andy Dalton. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I kind of think this is a reality here. And again, strange things happen in the NFL. And I stated this a month ago, and I'm going to state it again. What if Jacob Eason is good? It's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to throw no touchdowns, three picks first game. They're going to lose 31-0. And then, you know, Wentz is going to be back in game two. But what if he isn't? What if he plays well? I just want to open up that possibility here on the show, because I know who Andy Dalton is. I mean, that's just the bottom line. There's no shot. I mean, Andy Dalton is not good, and he's going to be out. It's going to be quick. One game, two games, three games. But what if they win? What if the Colts win a few games with Eason at quarterback and he plays really well? This could extend longer, I think. And Davis refuses to believe this, but I think this could extend out 4, 5, 6 games. And if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. He could be completely broken, and he could be terrible, and that could be the end of the story. Very possible. But I am going to say reality. He is going to start more games than Andy Dalton. I think it's going to be a lot more games. I'm going to take a shot here that Eason plays well.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You got to have like 900 PSA 10 Panini Prism Jacob Eason rookie card somewhere, because that is the only explanation. No, you do. I completely refuse to believe that Craig is just not pumping his Jacob Eason bags here on the show, because just nothing I have seen from Jacob Eason would indicate that he is ready to be an NFL quarterback, or honestly that he ever will be. I mean, he might be, like who knows? Again, I am no professional scout of the position, but the one thing that Eason has, and Craig, I wonder if you know this trivia, he has insane arm velocity. Like when they do the testing of how fast the quarterbacks throw the football at the combine, Eason was like the fastest in like forever. He just rockets the ball out of there. But his decision-making, his mobility, all of those things are very suboptimal. I don't think he starts one game. You know, it seems like Carson Wentz is going to be ready for week one, though we did just find out that he got placed on the COVID list. Maybe the sharp thing is to take the reality here, because I think Andy Dalton's going to get about a half before Justin Fields comes in and takes over. So I guess probably the sharp side is to say, you know, Carson Wentz misses a game, Carson Wentz gets hurt, Carson Wentz is on the COVID list, whatever, for a couple different games. But I do not want to be long Jacob Eason. I would like to be short on Jacob Eason. And by the way, for whatever reason, it does sound like they kind of like Ehlinger a little bit there too. They gave Ehlinger the start in their preseason game the other day and then had Eason come in after him. So I'm going fantasy. I'm saying we don't see Jacob Eason start a game this year.
Very possible. I'm taking a shot here on the unknown as opposed to the known. I know one guy and I don't know the other. I'm just taking the unknown.
All right, well, our next question, our final question of the day, Kanye West finally released Donda. He slept out in the Mercedes-Benz Center. He did something at Soldier Field as well. The album is finally out. So we got to ask, and Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You will download Kanye West's new album, Donda. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I already did download it, so it's a reality. I was driving to the gym yesterday morning, about 8:30 in the morning. My buddy texted me that the Donda album is out. I go over to Apple Music, I go click add, I go click download. I listened to all 28 songs when I was at the gym, and it's just not very good. There are parts of it that are very good. You know, the great part about Kanye West's music is generally the instrumentation. He uses live instrumentals. The production quality is amazing. You know, the beats are quite good. The instrumentals are quite good. There's a lot of great talking. Larry Hoover Jr. has this very moving statement in there with some instrumentals. Jay-Z shows up. Travis Scott shows up. There are many guest appearances. If your thing is really good guest appearances, there are many of those. But it just as like a coherent album, it's just not very good, and there's no like banger, you know. And it just is sad because Kanye West music, of course, used to be so good. Everyone loved Kanye's late 2000s, early 2000s, 10s music. I really loved Life of Pablo. I thought it was amazing, maybe even his best work. But it's just not good. It's just not good, Craig.
Yeah, this is a fantasy for me. While I'm much more into like the golden era of hip hop, so 80s and 90s, and Kanye kind of came around a little bit after that, but very clearly the first two or three albums that he put out were fantastic, and it's, you know, far from me to deny that. It's just he was not really somebody that was my favorite almost ever. So because that was not my wheelhouse, that's a fantasy for me. But then again, I don't think that I've downloaded anything music-wise in a long time. It's been years. Now, I do have records. I do collect vinyl. And I've even, you know, gone to stores a lot. I used to go every single week, by the way, before this whole pandemic, and buy four or five records a week for sure to play. And Kanye was never really at the top of that list. Just the recent stuff, as you mentioned, I just have not liked it at all. And he's always had huge, huge hits that kind of transcended hip-hop and went into pop. So fantasy for me, no download for sure, no shot of that, much better shot of downloading anything else, unfortunately, for Kanye, but wish him the best of success here. I'm just completely out on the music here. Davis, Brett, how about you? Brett, you downloading any Kanye music lately? You download anything lately? Are you a downloader?
I listen to Apple Music, so I don't really download anything. I just go on Apple Music and listen on the app. But yeah, I will definitely be checking out the new Kanye, although Davis says it's not very good, so maybe I will wait till I have a very long drive or something before I just spend my afternoon listening to it.
All right. Well, let us know, Brett. You know, two opinions are always better than one. Davis hit the big Brashad Perryman prediction, by the way, over the weekend. Good job with that. I want to give you credit for that as we end.
Yeah. Well, look, every once in a while you get something right. You read the tea leaves correctly. Though I use Apple Music as well, but I download the albums that I really like because you don't want to be caught somewhere. You don't want to be caught somewhere with no service and not be able to listen to your tunes.
Yeah. Also, can we agree after watching this weekend as well, Adrian Martinez completely out right now?
Bad.
Bad. Okay, thank you. All right.
Bad.
Want to make sure on that one too. All right. We'll take a quick break. We've got Sports Grid 60 coming up next, and then we're out of here for the day. So stay on the grid. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We've got the Sports Grid 60 coming up. Unfortunately, the time has ended for Buccaneers preseason superstar Tanner Hudson. He has been let go. Hopefully catches on with another team. I kind of like the way that he looked. All right, let's go to the Sports Grid 60 as we wrap up the day.
Well, Craig, I finally did it. All my friends have been doing it. Everyone on fantasy Twitter, my real life buddies, my online buddies, everyone has purchased an expensive profile picture NFT. Everybody I know, right? We did the Top Shot thing. Some people bought CryptoPunks, some didn't. Everyone is chasing that high. I finally bought one. I changed my profile picture on Twitter to it. I don't know how I feel about it. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a nice little risk to take, a little bit of a speculative edge to get the juices flowing on a Monday morning. And I'm happy about it. I want to share it. I want to share it with everyone here on FST and Sports Grid. So that is my Sports Grid 60 day. I spent a bunch of Ethereum on a JPEG.
All right, congratulations. I'll trade you 100 Jacob Eason PSA 10. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have Jacob Eason. I have like two cards. It doesn't mean a thing to me if he ends up doing well or not. Okay, I've been there where the reporter is for Yahoo Sports. I've been there before. It is not easy to be an insider for sure. Sometimes you put things out, you immediately regret hitting the send button. Kind of feel like this is one of those times where we're going to be looking back and saying, was there really anything to this whole Deshaun Watson thing? And it pains me to say, because I have been very wrong reporting. I have made things out to be more than they actually have been. But it doesn't feel like there's any steam in this case with Deshaun Watson. I guess we'll find out in the next couple of weeks. This report just may have been process of elimination of teams as opposed to an imminent trade. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Connell over at LTN. Thanks to Danny, of course, and Ryan, for my producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, Davis Matic. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. And we'll be right back here tomorrow, getting you ready for the fantasy football season right here on Fantasy Sports Today.